As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to get to this right away from the 214. Biggest bust in Cowboys draft history, Andre Ware.
I was just about to say
I don't know if that's in reference to Stephen Jones yesterday. Okay, when he was like, hey, we got some great players after the first round, like Andre Ware. He was talking about it.
Andre Ware was a player.
Yeah, I guess it was DeMarcus Lawrence is where we were trying to go, and he was thinking DeMarcus
Ware.
I know, but that was still a first-round pick.
I don't know, man.
So I guess, but yes, he meant DeMarcus Ware in that instance.
Andre Girard?
And he said
he was a second round pick, I
believe. Yeah, maybe. But he said Andre Ware. Now, go ahead and tell us who you think the biggest Cowboys draft bust of all time is. In the meantime, I go to the Corey News Desk for Stars News.
All right. Our friend Brian Ray is reporting from Leah. She writes for the Morning News. Do you know how to say it?
Oh, Assimacopoulos. I think it's Assimacopoulos.
Assimacopoulos. Sagan is in the mix, but not confirmed to play tonight in Nashville. Some game time decisions are still looming. So that was Brian Ray.
Sagan was playing for sure tonight.
Now here's what Leah says. Jake Oettinger will start in goal tonight versus Nashville.
Okay. Right?
Then they're going to the emergency goalie, I believe. No, I'm just joking. The rest of the lineup is a game time decision.
What? I thought they were going all in.
The rest of the lineup is a game time decision. Pete DeBoer said Tyler Seguin is in the mix. And then the last line, flu is still an issue for some. So some of the guys are dealing with
the flu. Okay, so it's not a rest thing necessarily.
Doesn't sound like that. So there are, but there's still some game time decisions going on, and we'll see how Tyler Seguin gets fit into the mix.
Okay.
Wild for tonight, man. Wild.
Interesting. Now,
which game's more interesting tonight? That one or the Mavs?
I mean, it's the Mavericks game because the Stars game literally means nothing.
But doesn't the Mavs game?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Look, it's a weird thing because you have to win that game to make it to the Friday night road game against Mr. Grenade and company. And then
Star.
You have to win that game to make it into a playoff series against Oklahoma City, of which you would be a preposterous underdog.
We're well on our way, baby. Well okay. on our way.
All right.
It all starts tonight.
Yeah. The Mavericks can... Look, I'll argue it all ends tonight. The Mavericks season, the Stars regular season, but we'll find out. All right? Now, in the meantime, for the Dallas Cowboys, we've been talking about doing this segment for a little bit, and I've seen a couple of different answers, and people already have given us all kinds of different answers from the 940, gotta be Taco Charlton. From the 903, I think it's Tristan Hill. And what about Bobby Carpenter? And I like this one because they compared Cowboys draft bus to other Cowboys draft bus. So they didn't say like, what about when we took this person instead of this person? They said, I'm going to take Bobby Carpenter slightly over Taco.
Okay. I really don't think there is a right or correct answer because every one of the Cowboys fans out there has felt this differently. I do feel, though, we still need to roll around on the other side and say, what was their best ever pick? Because okay. I bet that's an argument because AI has told me somebody that I disagree with.
Because my first thought value-wise, I guess, would be Larry Allen. But then the NFL draft used to be like 20 rounds long. And so they probably got some really dope player in like the 11th round.
Roger Staubach was a 10th round
pick. Well, then it's probably him.
29 overall.
Yeah, then it's probably...
But that's a conversation for another day, Kevin, as Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Larry Allen are all on that list as well. For this one, I have a... Like, somebody is going to text in Greg Ellis. That's going to happen.
Sure.
Because of Randy Moss. Greg Ellis was a fine player, though. Like, Greg Ellis was a very good player. He was not Randy Moss. I get it. But I can't put him as the number one on this list. It's in conversation, but not at all.
Now, I'm going to throw out a candidate.
Not even in my top 10.
Who I had not heard of before the last week or so. Are you familiar with the draft pick Bill Thomas?
No.
That's good. That helps my case. Because you've heard of all these other people.
I think Thurman Thomas played for the Bills.
That is true.
That's what you're trying to
do. No, I see where you're going with that. Bill Thomas was the Dallas Cowboys' number 26 overall pick in 1972. He played 7 games for the Cowboys as a rookie and then moved on to the Oilers and the Kansas City Chiefs. By the time his career was over, he had 36 rushing yards.
Oh.
So,
ooh.
He was picked number 26. He played 7 games for the Cowboys and ended his career with 36 yards rushing. That feels like a strong candidate. I know what's going to hurt him is nobody knows who the hell that is.
Yeah.
And where people are going to celebrate or be frustrated about like their more recent disappointment.
Shante Carver definitely stands out when he finished with 11 and a half sacks in 4 seasons. He was picked number 23, and it was kind of like, eh.
Was that Arizona State?
Yeah, something like that. It was more of those like, kind of moments. I think Taco's going to get so much in this conversation.
I get that.
I totally understand that. Felix Jones always felt to me like a, really? It felt like it was kind of a poor, I got to go back and look at what
you
year
felt
that
like
was.
That was a good old boy network selection,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I thought McFadden was going to be a better like running back and sure. Everything. And Felix Jones just didn't feel right. Well, Julius Jones, in my mind, I was furious on the day that draft happened. I was like, you could have had Steven Jackson and you traded back to get Julius Jones and I guess some other picks. And I was like, what's happening here? But I always felt like Felix Jones was kind of was a pick that I did not agree with.
I've only seen 2 people text this in. I was reading an article from Sportskeeda and they said it's Mo Claiborne is the biggest draft bust in Cowboys history just because they took him. That is one thing. They moved up in the first round and they took him so high. That is one thing that sets him apart.
And he didn't end up being who he really was. Like people were like, dude, this is a Deion type cornerback.
He was the first defensive player taken in that draft. If I remember correctly, like at least with Bobby Carpenter or David LaFleur or Taco Charlton, you're talking about mid to late first round picks. One thing Claiborne has going for him, I guess, in this situation, which is not necessarily what you want, is he was picked high and the Cowboys traded up to get him.
Dude, that Felix Jones draft year was just a poor draft overall.
Was it?
Jake Long went number 1.
Oh.
Chris Long went number 2.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Matt Ryan went 3.
Okay.
And Darren McFadden 4. Then Glenn Dorsey, Vernon Golston, Cedric Ellis, Derek Harvey, Keith Ruth, like a bunch of names that you're
that is a rough year.
Huh. And so Flacco goes, what? Felix Jones, Rashard Mendenhall, Chris Johnson. 3 running backs in a row. And
yeah.
You'd probably take the other 2
Chris
still
Johnson
over those guys.
2,000 yards.
And then there's Dwayne Bowe.
Somewhere over the Dwayne
Bowe. Dwayne Bowe.
All right. So your official answer is?
No, you can't say that one. I'm going to say Felix Jones, even though it was a very poor draft overall.
Alec, who is the worst Cowboys draft pick bust of all time?
I'd probably go Claiborne just because of what you just hit on. The fact that you had to move up to get him. You made him the first defensive player off the board. And all the comparisons. I hate pre-draft comparisons because they set up moments like this. You know, it's just unfair to the prospect. It's unfair to the fan base even when the national talking heads say, hey, he's going to be the next Deion. And then you don't get much out of it. And then you got to live with the fact that you moved up to get a guy that's not going to play for you much longer. That's tough. Obviously, being a younger guy, Taco Charlton sticks with me a lot and has fueled my hate for Michigan players.
Pause Taco for a second because he works into my next part of this question then. Is your hierarchy of what makes it a bad pick, is it the comp that you just talked about? Is it where you went, or is it who you almost immediately passed over for that? Because I think
that happens a lot.
Because Taco was a bad pick. Like, I'm not here to defend that pick whatsoever. But I think what really rockets him up people's list is you see the alternative of TJ Watt there, and you're like, what the hell? I think that's what really pushes him for people.
I think it is going to be exactly that, who was available, because you're going to have some people that are going to look at like the CeeDee Lamb pick, and you're going to look at some of the names that went in front of him and some of the other receivers, especially in that class. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be kicking themselves, you know, like the Raiders are going to be like, dang, that Henry Ruggs pick, you know, that was interesting, sure. You know, so there's every team experiences that. And I think from a fan point of view, it's very frustrating when you see a potential generational talent go 1-2 picks after a pick that you made. That's rough.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking back to like 2000, right after the Mo Claiborne pick.
Okay.
The next year, I guess, 2014-ish. Since the Cowboys have been picking in the top 20, they've almost nailed it every time. Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Zeke, LVE. LVE is kind of the outlier, although he was a very good player. But Parsons, CeeDee, Zeke, and Zach Martin, those are, you nailed it when you're in the top 20 picking. So I have a lot of faith that they're going to get this one right. And it felt like the LVE pick, was that 19, I believe, something like that? Yeah, it was. He was the 19th overall pick. That was one of those where you were like, you're in that range of you might have run out of players. I know Derwin James was kind of the name we were all excited about, but you'd kind of run out of players. But when you have players left that are available, the Cowboys usually do pretty good there.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really intrigued by potentially looking at the other side and maybe like the Cowboys' best pick in every round
when they're outside of it, like they've had some ding-dongs, if you will.
Sherman Williams has come up, and no, it is not the paint entrepreneur. In honor of Mike Bassick, I know David LaFleur is always a pick.
Do you agree with Quincy Carter?
It's just too high. It's the same thing. Like this year, for example, if you take Quinn Ewers, like let's just say in the third round, I do not approve of that pick. If you take him in the fifth round, great. I think that's totally fine. I still don't know what he'll amount to, but I think from a value perspective, that's completely fine. And that was the issue, because most people had Quincy Carter going in the fourth round. But the thing they'll say about quarterbacks is you can't risk it. Like maybe they had gotten intel that he wasn't even going to be there at that point in the third round. And that's a tough thing, because whatever the pre-draft expectation is, it's hard to break that. You know, like you go back to Tim Tebow. It's like, oh my God, they took Tim Tebow at the end of this round? What are they doing? Maybe they had intel that three other teams in the first half of the second round were going to take Tebow. But instead, everyone's like, well, this was stupid because nobody was going to take him. I mean, hell, that's kind of the way I felt about Travis Frederick at the time. I thought it was an overdraft in terms of value. Clearly, as a player, it turned out phenomenally. And maybe the Cowboys had intel that there were four teams that are like, we're going to take him before you get back around.
For all those that are chiming in about Steve DeBerg, he definitely does not fit the worst ever draft.
Because he wasn't a bust.
Exactly. And he was picked by the Cowboys in the 10th round, just like Roger Staubach in the 10th round.
Steve DeBerg.
Yep.
So we might have to scale this down to in 94 is when they moved to the 7th round. Because there
fine.
It feels like the NFL draft used to be like the MLB draft used to be, where they'd let you just keep picking players until you were tired of picking players. But it looks like Bobby Carpenter and Taco Charlton are the leading vote getters here. And it feels like for kind of different reasons. It feels like people were just irritated at Bobby Carpenter because he just wasn't good. But it feels like people were irritated about Taco because he could have been TJ Watt. Not to say he was good, absolutely. But they were like, oh, we took you instead of TJ Watt?
Yeah, because he couldn't put his hand on the ground, and now he's putting his hand on the ground.
Well, guess what? Classic Cowboys, they'll probably get TJ Watt in 3 years. Not now. That would still be too soon.
I do also remember, though, when everybody was furious that they didn't get Sharif Floyd. And everybody lost their minds, and Sharif Floyd
had, that was in the Frederick draft.
He played a career. And so, like, people get wrong about players all the time.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy, but also Carter is amped up. Are you amped up about this Rangers giveaway that my wife didn't even know what it meant?
Uh-oh.
Next on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
With Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy in a few minutes. But first, we have some other things to deal with, Texas Rangers-wise and Dallas Mavericks-wise. We're going to bring in Carter Freeman real quick to talk about one of these things. Carter, tell everyone what Texas Rangers giveaway you were excited about.
Well, this is, I believe, on April 30th. I hope it is because they're the games that I bought tickets for. But I got an ad from one of my friends this morning for a Rangers giveaway hat that has, it's blue. It's got the Rangers T logo on the side, but on the front in cursive font, it says Glizzy for a $1 dog night. And as soon as I saw that, I said, I'm there. Friends and I bought tickets, and they're the theme night tickets, right? They're not like the ones you get when you go in.
Yes.
So you got to buy the special tickets. So special tickets have been bought. I will be wearing that for the rest of the season.
Now, I mentioned that giveaway to my wife last night because I also saw it on social media, and she said, what is a glizzy? What do you think among, let's say, adults? I know the young people are aware. What do you think is the adult knowledge of what a glizzy is? Is this like 70%? What are we talking about here?
I know just because of the business.
Okay.
So I have a hard time, Kevin, like...
Corey's in the business of glizzies.
Well, no, when we were a weekend show, I believe that's when the term popped. And
really?
I believe so. And it was, they were talking about putting mayo on their glizzy. And that's when I was like, what is happening right now?
Because I remember it was during the pandemic is when that kind of popped up. As memes go in and out so quickly these days. But there was a good 2 or 3 weeks where there were glizzy memes all over the place. And that's where I first heard, like 2020.
I do believe it was a draft prospect back when we were a weekend show.
Yeah, it was the pitcher, Glizzy Dean. That's Dizzy Dean. No, Carter, you can co-host this.
I'll talk to Boach. I'll ask him about this hat.
Okay, so you're pumped about the Glizzy hat. Absolutely. How many other people listening out here? I feel like at least one of the two nosebleed seats fellas are going to be fans of the Glizzy hat, Eric, right?
You're saying Eric.
They could both.
You said at least one of two.
Yeah, at least one of two.
Anyone who's a hot dog fan needs to be in on this because it's on a dollar dog night, too. That is perfect marketing right there.
Now, to go along with this, actually, I don't know why I said that. This has nothing to do with that.
Oh, no more glizzies?
I'm sorry. Is there anything
else? Do I need
to leave? Well, you could stay right here. Something is happening in the NBA space over the last 48 hours. And it's Nico Harrison continuing to talk. And I know we've gone all throughout that yesterday, but guess what? He has more to say. Corey, can you walk us through this scintillating exchange between Tim McMahon and Nico Harrison? Because word is that Tim McMahon wants the Mavericks get eliminated. So maybe tonight, maybe Friday, maybe in 2 weeks, he's got a story that's more in depth about all of this. Here is a preview.
Yeah, this is actually
that story.
This actually sounds like it was an excerpt from yesterday.
Okay.
Right? And it sounded like I with Nui Scruggs this morning, it sounded like McMahon got a little hot because Nico had kind of suggested that some of his questions were a joke. And so McMahon then was like, I got this, and did his thing. Tim McMahon, in your own words, you created a 3 to 4 year time frame. In building a finals team, a team that went to the finals last season, you gave up your first round capital control of 27, 28, 29, and 30. So 3 to 4 years ends, you're out of the first round draft capital. How is that a logical decision? Explain the logic of that for the long-term best interest of this franchise. It's a good question. That's a very in-depth,
well-thought-out question. All right, Nico, I want to hear his answer then.
Nico replied, can you repeat that?
So he did, right? We just went through the same thing again, and then we got the real answer.
He did not say that.
He said, can you repeat that? I mean, that's a question I feel like you should be prepared for already. Like, you should already know.
And, like, you should already know because that should be the mission statement you start off your press conference with. Like, I know a lot of people are still bent out of shape about the Luka trade. Here are the various reasons we did it, including our 3 to 4 year plan, which did sacrifice draft capital for. Like, his business statement should have been essentially the crux of what Tim McMahon's question was.
My plan with all these moves was to get us to the finals. We did that. And now my plan, because since we already got there, I already felt like we could continue to get to that place if we made these other points. Nobody believes him right now. He's the only one that believes that this was the move that had to be made.
I think it was that you said lack of preparation for a question like that. That's the best way to look at everything regarding the Luka trade, right? Like the lack of preparation and looking at other potential destinations if you're going to move them. Lack of preparation for the response. The lack of preparation for, I mean, not even having the cameras or, you know, recorded audio for this whole thing. It's just totally unprepared. And it's just, we had like a month period where we were away from this. Like all of March, we were fine. And then Luka comes back to town and this all starts over again. It was so good. And I'm wearing my Mavs polo today. Like I'll watch the game and I do think I want them to win because I like when the team wins, but it still feels like a lose-lose no matter what.
So help me out one more time, Corey. What was Nico Harrison's well-thought-out answer to that well-thought-out question?
Can you repeat that?
What I said was, what was Nico Harrison's well-thought-out response to that well-thought-out question?
That was his answer, Kevin, was, can you repeat that? And I like this from the 817. I'll repeat the question if you can repeat 2024. I like that. That's pretty good.
Man, and you know what I think? Because we've been in situations like this before. I think that that's an intimidation tactic to try to get you to drop your question, or they don't think you'll be able to meticulously remember that question again the same way. So that has always been a theory that I've held about that.
Usually that's the when you're like, oh man, they don't have an answer.
All right, right now, brought to you by National Car Rental. Whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. As well as Olshan, we bring you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's it going, guys?
Well, we're doing well. Would you like us to jump directly to baseball questions or celebrate your birthday for just a second?
We'll go right to baseball. Yeah, we'll. I'm good with whatever.
Hold on. You told us last week that Tony Beasley sings to the guys, but you don't let him sing to you. So has anybody sung to you yet? And would you like us to?
You know what? I'll pass, but I'd really appreciate that. You know, that's the same thing I tell Bees, but he'll find his way in here. He's relentless, so it's pretty much a hide-and-seek game with him today.
Now, well, then in terms of contemporary baseball questions, you could make a really strong argument that the back-to-back starts from Tyler Mahle are the best back-to-back starts he's had in probably 4 years. Aside from just getting healthier, what have you seen from him in these last two starts that has made him so effective?
Well, he's got four pitches that he has. He's got a good ride on the fastball. He pitches on that top rail very well, but, you know, he goes in and out. So he's got the quadrants that he can work with. And you know, I talked about it last night a little bit. You know, there's no panic in him. You see him out there, how calm he is. And he just has ability, you know, to execute a big pitch when he has to. Now he's got the slider. Last year, he didn't use that a lot, but that's been a big pitch for him, along with the split. And they'll mix in the slower breaking ball at times. And so he's got a four-pitch mix where he can work both sides and up and down. And so that works, especially when you know that you're in a good place. And what I mean by that is you have that confidence, and he's got that working for him. Number one, he's healthy, and two, he's pitched well before. He's got that on his resume.
Now, I know, obviously, you're going to check with all your players to make sure they're doing okay, but does any special precaution or, I guess, follow-up have to go with Tyler Mahle, just because, obviously, he has had a long road to get back to pitching?
Yeah, we always try to monitor their workload. I don't think, you know, there's been anybody that we should have concern over. He was at his limit last night. He got the extra day. These guys are getting that extra day right now. So that makes it a little bit easier. You know, it's funny how the game has changed. You know, for years, you know, 110 to 115 pitches is pretty much average. And now, you know, you do what your their load, in which, you know, that's, it makes sense because I know we don't want to lose any more starters or baseball in general, but I tell you what, there's more surgeries than I've ever seen that's going on. I was just talking to, you know, Dr. Meister. He says I'm as busy as I've ever been, and so it is important that we keep a watchful eye on these guys and try to take care of them.
Do you think that gets attributed as simple as we all got to throw harder and we got to have that spin rate? Do you think pitch clock factors in at all? Do you have any theories about the spike in injuries for pitchers?
Yeah, actually, I was talking to him last night about it, and that's the biggest one. It's just, you know, the power now that these guys are thrown with, and they're all out on both the spin and the fastball. And so, you know, the pitching part of it isn't quite there like it used to be. But that's not in all cases, though. You know, there's guys that aren't throwing 96, 97 that are, you know, having arm issues, too. So it can be shaping, reshaping a breaking pitch, for example, just maybe the split, you know. I mean, here we have a lighter who's doing great, and, you know, he's come up with this blister. And that's not so uncommon, but, you know, that comes with, you know, coming up with a new pitch. And so, you know, that could have something to do with it.
By the way, how is Leiter feeling? How are we feeling on that right now?
He's feeling good. He's going to throw live here tomorrow. And so all goes well, then he'll be ready to make a start. We haven't determined what we're going to do there, but I know there's talk. You know, I've been asked about him going on a rehab, but we have not made that determination yet. So we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Is there any particular reasoning on a pitcher-to-pitcher basis of, like, why does one person need a rehab start versus another one we feel is comfortable to go right back into the rotation?
Yeah. I think more than anything is what determines that is how long have they been out.
Yeah.
You know, that plays a big part in it. Now, sometimes it's need. Yeah. You look at who we have going tonight, Patrick Corbin. We had some injuries and we needed him, and he's been stretched out, never pitched in a game. He threw a sim game, we call it. And so, it was important for us to have a starter out there, and he has experience. We made sure that he was comfortable doing it, and he was from the get-go. He was hoping he wouldn't have to do a start in the minor leagues because he missed spring training. So everybody, we're all different. I'm talking about players and how we treat them. And it's important that we do make the right call because we don't want to put them at risk. And that's our biggest concern, is to take care of these guys.
One of the things on the TV broadcast last night that I noticed, Boach, was Dave Raymond. They were talking about Mally, and I think David Murphy said, He's still coming around to feeling comfortable on the mound. And then Dave Raymond mentioned that DeGrom's still kind of going through something like that. And then I started thinking there are some guys that they were getting out of spring training, they're still trying to get comfortable with what they're doing, not just on the mound, but some other position players as well. Do you find it difficult to be patient with guys that are kind of trying to find that? Or do you feel like, no, every player is eventually going to find their groove?
Yeah, I try to stay positive on this and just know who they are and what they've done. And there's no reason why they're not going to do it again. And some guys are slow starters. Now you're taking somebody like Jacob DeGrom. He's missed a lot of time. Yeah, he came up last year and pitched a little bit. But still, he's trying to get in that groove and get his good command. Some guys, they heat up as it gets a little warmer, too. Hitters, it's hard to explain why some guys are slow starters. It's been talked about with Marcus. He's notorious for being a little bit of a slow starter. And so it's just at bats and getting that timing and everything. And just goes to show you how important the rhythm and timing is, whether you're hitting or pitching, to get to where you need to be to execute the pitches or hit the pitches that's being thrown at you. And sometimes that just takes a little longer for some guys.
We were talking about the Higashioka and Jonah Heim split and how closely, even those have been. And I like how that approach has gone. But I was kind of curious, did you think that bringing Higgy in would bring some competitive fire to Jonah? Or was that more about getting Jonah's legs back up under him after that long World Series run?
Yeah, I think more than anything, Jonah got more of a rest. I'm not sure he did some self-evaluating, maybe what he could have done different. Not that, he would have done something different. He could have just attribute that to having an off year, which some guys do. But competition does bring out the best in everybody, and that's fine. They're good friends, and they're good teammates, and they're pulling for each other to help us win a ball game. So, but yeah, I don't think that ever hurts. And it just, something I think brings out the best in players, especially in spring training. You'll see it sometimes when you have some spots open and you're battling for that starting position. Now it's good. It teaches you, number one, I think, don't drop your guard, because someone's always trying to get your job. And two is, you always want to feel like you got to play at the top of your game and can't get complacent there. So, but
if you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
With those two, I think they complement each other so well. And they're both going to be better players by how we're going to split this thing up. Because we plan on playing important games there toward the end of the season, and we want those guys fresh.
Now, it's only 17 games into the season, and obviously you guys are in first place, so you got to feel good about that. But you'd mentioned people that are notoriously slow starters. I'm curious, how long does a start last? Like, how long are you into the season before you're like, this isn't the start of the season anymore? Like, this is a trend, and maybe we got to do something.
Yeah, you know, I've been asked that a few times. With hitting, maybe I've mentioned 100 at bats is that's a number that gets thrown out there a lot. But again, it's different with every individual. It can be 40 games for a team. Now you see some teams you think are out of it, and here they come the second half and end up going to playoffs and winning a World Series. So it's hard to say, but. You know, for me, I thought it was important that we got off to a good start, especially after last year. And, you know, it's been a pretty good start. You know, sure, we'd like to even have a better one. But overall, there's been a lot of good things happening. I love what's happening with this pitching staff. And, you know, they're going to play a huge part in our success. And again, these hitters are going to come around. So I feel good about this club, where it's at. But it's hard to put a number on it. But, you know, once you get into the first, you know, 30, 40 games, and you should have a pretty good idea, you know, where you're at with the club and maybe what your needs are or your wants. And the same with the hitters. I mean, we have to adjust there with lineups and stuff, just like the bullpen. If you have to adjust at some point there. You usually give it some time. If you start doing things the first week or two, now you're sending a sense of panic. So
let's
let these guys, you know, get comfortable and they'll come around.
I totally get that it's part of the job, but how difficult is it to make some of these moves, whether it's going back to the Giants or now with the Rangers, that like you won World Series with these players in these roles and like you might have to shuffle them up at some point? Is that difficult for you, or you're like, that's just the job?
Well, that's my job. Yeah. No getting around it. It's to put out the best club that we can put out there to win a game, whether it's you know, the lineup, the offensive part of it, or how we use the bullpen. I've always said you can't live on yesterday's headlines. Sure, you pull for these guys, you know what they've done for you, but still, you know, hey, it's all about production, and you know, you got to do what's right for the ball club. That's the fair thing for them, along with you know, all of us, including the fans. So that's what you have to do as a manager.
What was weirder last night, Boach, but the interference calls or the dirt cam situation? Which one was like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen two interference calls like that. Yeah, but I can say I've never seen the other one either. What's that called? You call the dirt cam?
Yeah.
I take that back. I think one time in front of home plate, it might have been during the playoffs, the one sprung up there. But, that was a little strange one. I mean, Higgy fell. He fell over pretty good. and the Darno, the catcher, he did a good job of trying to make contact to sell it even a little bit better. But not that he had to. Higgy was so far over home plate. And I didn't mind the other interference call. I got Corey off his legs and put in Josh Young.
There you go. Now, I was kind of curious before we move on here, what's your trust level in Kevin Pillar? He made a great diving catch last night, and I was kind of curious, are you trying to find more opportunities for him in the lineup? Are you happy getting what you're getting from him right now?
Yeah, I kind of like where, you know, how he's being used right now. You know, he's going to start against lefties. Now, he may get occasional start against righties if we haven't seen one in a while. But I got some pretty good outfielders that, you know, between Leo. Now, you got Wyatt coming back. He's doing well. So he's probably going to be back at some point this weekend. And then Dustin Harris, Smitty, I got to find a spot for him. So, that's the difficult part of when guys are doing pretty good and you're trying to get them all in there. Harris's first game hits a home run. So I'm going to see how Smitty's doing today, for example. He may need another day. He's got a pretty good bruise on his hand. So if he can't go, you'll see Harris out in left field.
And you just mentioned Langford. I know he was supposed to swing the bat yesterday, since you said he could be good to go for this weekend. Safe to assume that went well yesterday?
Yeah. He's doing great. Yeah. So swinging the bat now, you know, he'll get some live BP. And so then he'll probably DH a game or two in the minor leagues, you know, to give him some game action and maybe play a little bit and just to test him out.
And then, and you also mentioned Evan Carter. Are you kind of looking, hoping that you can get him up to the big league soon?
Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, he gets on track here. We know what Evan can do. I mean, he's a special player when he's healthy. Where he can hit, run, play defense, all those things. And we plan on having him up here at some point, and we're hoping sooner than later.
All right.
Well, we appreciate the insight as always. Thanks for your time and happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Boach.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Go get Rangers.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. So as is usually the case, there's a few different things to break down from there. In the short term, immediately, the idea that Josh Smith might need another day because of the bruise. And if that's the case, then it would be Harris tonight, but we'll see. And that Wyatt Langford did well. You might see him DH a game or two and then be back for this weekend.
All right. And one thing I wanted to kind of include in all this, I know you heard him this morning on Sean and RJ, but Nui Scruggs was listening, and it is his 25th anniversary at NBC, at NBC5. So happy anniversary to Nui Scruggs. And I know he's still celebrating the Duke loss.
Yeah. And that's why I'm not going to say happy anniversary to him. That is an amazing work achievement. Had it not been for the events of the last week and a half or so, I would have said, great job.
Happy anniversary. I think he's wonderful. So
from the 469. Now, somebody asked for an update on John Gray, and we can give you an update here. If I remember correctly, John Gray was supposed to be out 6 weeks. I think we're at four. I guess you missed it. They moved him to the 60-day injured list. So then all of a sudden you go from that to you're talking about probably a minimum of 9 weeks out. Okay. So you're still a good ways away from seeing John Gray. But some positive news there with Wyatt Langford back, with Josh Smith, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, not sounding like it's going to be a longer term deal. And then you love the answer of, hey, I got to keep Smitty in the lineup. Harris is looking good. We got Wyatt coming back.
Yeah, dude, it seemed like he's like, I got all these options. This is great.
Yes, that is a confluence of events right there that I think is really neat. Couple of other notes that I wanted to throw out for you real quick from the 940. Yeah, Corey will love this. Go Get Rangers is here to stay.
Heck yeah, it is. I love it. And you know what? Somebody suggested a whole stadium should sing him happy birthday tonight. I would love for Section 133 to just break into a happy birthday to Boach.
Yeah. Like,
how cool would that be if 133 gets it going and the rest of the place just gets rocking and Boach is sitting there going, I told those guys not to do this, but here we are.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know what is more embarrassing to me.
What?
If it's that, or if it's Mike hustling down to get Marcus Simeon after our FC Dallas interview gone wrong. And he goes, Marcus, you're not going to believe this. And then Marcus Simeon following up with, huh, so we're probably not getting that guy again, huh? It was that line that really crushed me. So when
he said it with a smile. Marcus so nice.
So we have FC Dallas guest coming up at 1:30 today, and look, no questions will be asked about holidays or at least not by me, or religions or anything like that. Now, couple of things not surprising here. Duke freshman Con Knepel is going to leave Duke and enter the NBA draft. You might remember him as the player in the East Finals that the PA announcer at first said, Knepel, and that is what he called him out on the court again and again. And then I think somebody told him, hey, that's not right. So then he changed it to Knepel. And it's like, it's more like Knepel, but I see where you're going there. Couple of other notes. The WNBA draft with Paige Beckers in tow. It was the second highest watched draft in WNBA history.
Dude, were you on TV last night?
Yeah, you were here when that interview took place.
You were on NBC last night. Yeah, look at you, dude.
I take that, Nui.
Talking about Paige Beckers.
I know it's not a shout-out Friday, and I won't get into specifics. I think I deserve a shout-out for helping along one of the people in that interview along the way. I'm just saying. Yeah. I definitely helped with that. All right, so it's tough for the WNBA because you have to kind of, like, take everything from the Caitlin Clark years out of it.
Yeah.
Because so it's like, hey, it's the second highest WNBA draft of all time. It dropped by about 50% from last year.
Oh my gosh.
But most of the time when you're like, oh, we had a 50% drop, you're like, ooh, what happened? But it was still the second highest rated WNBA draft of all time at 1.25 million viewers. And that's why we go back to some of the conversations that we have with some of our fans. I get it. There are some fans out there that don't care about the WNBA. But when tomorrow we're going to have the Dallas Wings GM on the show at noon. Check it out. But for the people who say that, there are people out there who care and care quite a bit. It might not be you, but there are things that we talk about on the show all the time that I'm sure either Corey, Alec, or myself are not super interested in as well. But that's what's going on. So you saw the graphic that WNBA and ESPN PR put out, up 119% versus 2023.
Right. Yep.
Because you don't want to put out the graphic that says like down 48, 50% or whatever from the 2024 draft because, you know, just don't send that tweet out.
Yeah. Well, they're continuing to grow.
That's true. And then...
and invest in their players.
Yes. Well, the other league is doing that. Look, we can ask
That's
the Wings GM tomorrow. Hey, Paige Becker is signed with another league in her off time because she will make more from them in one season than she will in all of her rookie contract with you guys. Is that a fundamental flaw with your business plan?
Yeah, and I think there's more. I think there's so much more to that conversation too.
Yes.
I mean, like there really is because, hey, look, we're happy that they can do that and feel financially stable, but they want to be in our league. Why?
Yeah.
Why do they want to be in your league also? Like that's always a fun thing for me to learn.
See, from the 817, it's like golf. Yeah, me personally, I don't care about golf, but that's what people were talking about over the weekend. And it also, believe it or not, gives us the opportunity to ask about this new golf segment. What would you think about a future golf segment called What in the Putt?
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I said, what in the putt? I think that would be a good name for a golf segment.
Did you say putt?
Yes.
Okay.
With a P. Now, I do have a golf story here for you. Don't worry. Did you see that they're adding more mixed team events to the Olympics? Like they're doing more men and women combined events. So one of the things they're going to have is mixed team golf. It's going to be a 36-hole competition. With the first 18 holes will consist of the foursomes playing alternate shots, which you've probably seen that quite a bit before. And the mixed team competition will play on Sunday and Monday after the men's individual tournament and before the women's individual tournament. The Olympics have not hosted a team golf event since 1904, but it's making a comeback, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got C Block coming up.
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053.
Now.
Caller number 10 will win a pair of tickets to go see Modest Mouse and the Flaming Lips on August 19th at the Toyota Music Factory. Did I have a dream about the Flaming Lips last night because of this giveaway?
Really?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Fight test.
Here is your opportunity to win tickets today, tomorrow, Friday, next. Is a C Block.
Oh, why did this guy want Barry Bonds to die? Next in The Fan.
Oh,
nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.